The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Tuesday. Gary, what the heck is going on? How are you?
I'm doing really, really good. And to really summarize the day from yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
The John Dean hearings. Man, I'm being flashed back to college. I mean, it was on yesterday's show where... You know, when I in their pre-show meeting, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the story and I'm like, because Trump was railing over John Dean.
Right, right, right.
And it's like former White House counsel.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Well, I'm like, well, I don't remember any guy by the name of John Dean. You know, why is Trump railing over this? There's no John Dean from what I know. Did I miss something? So I'm grabbing my papers and I'm looking back and I'm doing my research. Oh, the Watergate John Dean.
Oh yeah.
What are you talking about? He's testifying for Gerald Nadler. When it comes to Russian collusion, I'm just, why it didn't. This is all you've got. Well, I've decided that Jim Jordan put it all into context yesterday.
Okay.
When he was talking to John Dean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just play this audio cut. And then we're really done with it. Even yesterday, for example, I turned on to see how the networks are covering it. And when I turned it on, I mean, the helicopter crash.
Right.
It was, I mean, for hours. I mean, there was nothing on John Dean at all. So that thing just fizzled. It went nowhere.
Right.
But just to give you an idea of what happened, here is... part of the testimony from John Dean, being asked questions by Jim Jordan.
The state of mind and the perspective you bring to this hearing, and I think the American people understand. Let me ask you this then. Did you give advice to Lanny Davis or Michael Cohen prior to Mr. Cohen's testimony to Congress?
No.
Well, you said on Aaron Burnett's show the night before Mr. Cohen testified in front of the Oversight Committee that Michael Cohen should, you said you had talked to Lanny Davis, and that Michael Cohen should hold his testimony as long as possible from Republicans. You didn't say that to Mr. Davis? You said it on Aaron Burnett's show the night before Cohen testified.
I didn't say it directly to Mr. Cohen was your question.
No, it wasn't. My question was, did you give advice to Lanny Davis or Michael Cohen prior to Mr. Cohen's testimony to Congress?
Yeah, I have known Lanny Davis for almost a couple decades, and we have talked about it. And I did say, as soon as you turn your testimony over, it will be picked apart.
So you instructed Michael Cohen's lawyer to keep information from Republicans to obstruct the committee work that we were doing in the Oversight Committee just a few months ago? You told that to Michael Cohen's lawyer?
I didn't quite phrase it that way, no.
You know what? They took your advice.
I'm sorry?
They took your advice.
Did they?
Yeah. Mr. Cohen kept his testimony from us for as long as possible. But you know what else Mr. Cohen did that day? Lied. Lied seven times. And this is what I think concerns so many Americans. This is what concerns, I think, so many Americans about the work that's going on in this Congress, this 116th. The first announced witness of the 116th Congress is Michael Cohen, a guy who sits in prison today for lying to Congress. Today, Chairman Nadler brings in front of the Judiciary Committee a guy to talk about obstruction of justice who went to prison in 1974 for obstructing justice.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's, and that's why I was so shocked, you know, and when I first saw this story, when I saw, you know, the president going... You know, with the whole thing about John Dean, I'm like, well, where did this guy? I'm figuring it's some guy who served for him whose name was John Dean.
No, because I guess that wouldn't really be it's probably a fairly common name, I guess.
Yes, yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Right.
And that's, you know, some, I'm like, well, wait a minute. And I'm thinking totally confused. Well, the president could just, you know, executive privilege. He can't make Watergate John Dean. Why?
I just But it, because they needed to be something, it really was the attempt. What? Ultimately, it was the attempt to, we'll make this look like Watergate.
Watergate, right. Believe me.
That's just so stupid.
Believe me. It may be a lot worse than Watergate. But not the path that Gerald Nadler is going down, but the path that William Barr is going down.
All right. Now, during those hearings, I think Republicans should bring back John Dean. Welcome back, Mr. Dean. Let's ask you some questions now.
Jim Jordan, so glad to have you back here.
So glad to have you back here.
Now it fits having you back here.
Now we can put all this together for the American people. Bunch of morons. It really is ridiculous. It is, I don't know, man. I don't know who's writing the script.
Well, the funniest thing is social media was completely quiet on it.
I didn't see anything. That's a great point. I didn't see anything at all.
It's almost as if it's almost as if even the trolls were embarrassed with what the Democrats were doing.
Look, again, and we have to say this. I keep repeating this, but I think she did such a great job in pointing it out. And it was, I think for a lot of us, it was clear. But the way she constructs her articles and opinions there at the Wall Street Journal, she did a good job, Kimberly Strassel, on May 9th. What Nadler wants, and he wants the show. I mean, that was basically the summary of it. He wants the show. But in this attempt, it was so horrible. He wants to somehow bring somebody here associated with Watergate so we can make this look like Watergate. I mean, what's now? Remember the Russian comedian? What was his name? Oh, my gosh. The one that... Yakov Smirnoff. Why not just bring him? Bring him in. Oh, see. Okay, so you're a Russian. Yes. Okay, let's talk about Russia. I mean,
He was always good on Night Court.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty funny back in the day. You know, I thought he was pretty funny.
Well, he was when he... Because that was the end of the Cold War. I mean, it was it wasn't the official end of the Cold War, but the Cold War was moving in the direction of ending.
And he was the only stand-up comedian from Russia ever.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But it's just a ridiculous attempt to make it look like something that it's not. And remember, we go back, I don't know how long ago this was. It's all just blending together in one huge blob. But it goes back a ways. And who was it? I don't know if it's Jake Tapper or Chris Cuomo or someone over at MSNBC or Chris Matthews. This is what Watergate looks like. This feels like Watergate. This is, well, Nadler's got nothing. Nadler.
No,
the whole Candace Owens thing, he started to take her down for something she didn't even say. Turns out he wasn't listening. He got his backside handed to him.
Yes, he did.
And I just look at that, the whole makeup of it right now. I got to wonder if the Democrats are looking at this. Other Democrats on Capitol Hill, you mentioned, you know, that it really didn't have any legs on social media during the day. And I don't think it was ever going to, because it was a horrible plan. But I wonder if others on Capitol Hill, other Democrats are going in the House are going, you know what? Nadler's not the guy to chair this committee anymore, man. He's just really horrible. To remind people, we talked about Chuck Grassley during the whole Kavanaugh thing. I mean, it was maddening. First of all, he's going to have to have a faster cadence when he's reading. Second of all, he allowed way too many things. He opened the door to way too many things, and it happened anyway. And I like Lindsey Graham being the chairman of that committee now in the Senate. And I'm wondering if Democrats in the House right now are going, man, we need a new chairman on that committee. Nadler's not getting it done, because this was ridiculous.
I mean, it looked so bad. You know, we always talk about when you're reaching and. And I really mean it. When the trolls ignore what's going on.
Right.
When the leftist trolls ignore it on social media, then you know, again, it's the silence. We won't even comment on this. This is so ridiculous. We're not going to comment on it. And I think that's gotten to the point with Nadler, and that's probably the fear of some in the, you know, that that's probably the fear from people like a Pelosi or a Steny Hoyer.
Yeah. Right.
That's probably some of the fear that they have because they've been around Congress a long time. I mean, they've been around for the impeachment of one president. And they're looking at this saying, this is really weak. Guys, you have a weak position. You have nowhere to go. And then they see Nadler doing something like this. And what they're looking at is 2020 and saying, wow. When you look at the House right now for the Democrats, when you look, I think that the Republicans have a great, great marketing opportunity here. To look at this and say, look what happens when you put the Democrats in one part of the legislature. Look at this. Have they accomplished anything of substance for the American people? You've got AOC. And, oh, by the way, I mean, this is just perfect now. You know, the front page of Fox News. Just checked it now and it changed here in the last hour. But it's, you know, AOC. You know, saying, you know, we need to have a raise. It's not even like a raise. We need to have a raise so we don't go to work as lobbyists.
Right.
As if $5,000 is going to change.
Yeah, right.
But the fact is now Democrats are the ones that are saying it's because the raises, the cost of living raises are supposed to be automatic. But the Congresses, you know, Republican Congresses over the last few years have stopped it. So there have been no raises. And so Democrats are really, really pushing to start the raises again, which are supposed to be automatic unless Congress comes in and nixes them and says, no, we don't, you know, we're not going to do it this year. And now you've got all the Democrats out there saying, give us a raise, give us a raise, give us a raise. And this is just a couple of months after they've taken power. And you can look at it and say they haven't done anything. It doesn't really look good. And there is an opportunity here for Republicans for 2020, I believe.
You know, we were going over some things in the pre-show meeting, and I just wonder, I really wonder how they bring it together. I mean, this is the question we've been asking for a long time now. How do you really bring it together for the Democrats? How do they bring it together for 2020? I mean, man, it is just, if I thought he would give us honest answers and talk about it openly, I'd love to have the former President Barack Obama on and ask him, because remember, he's the one that said the circular firing squad. You know, the party seems to be in a circular firing squad. In other words, just going after each other. It's not just going after each other. It's not the normal primary thing. That's not what's happening here. It is the trolling. It is the endless shaming. It is the tearing down of anybody but the person talking. I mean, that's basically it. And I really don't know what their strategy is. I have no idea. Because if it ends up being Biden, you know, there was a time that I thought to myself, man, Biden might be able to pull it off. I think by the time we get to November of next year, I can see that being a quite possibly a long shot for him to win in the general, if he gets the nomination. But how does he get the nomination?
He has to go full-fledged late-term abortion.
You said this, it was probably closer to the beginning of the year, but you said, well, but he can't get the primary. He can't get the primary. Because everybody's focusing on the, if the election were held today and it was Trump versus Biden. No. Primary first. And it's not any ordinary primary any longer. It's now something, circus doesn't even begin to cover it. It's just something bizarre. I really have never seen this. And we saw it coming. We talked about it, in the days after the election in 2016. We talked about it. You can't just keep splitting and splitting and splitting and splitting these groups, because eventually you get to what? Well, her name is AOC. She doesn't need you. She's the boss. She doesn't need you to be her hero. She's the victim. and the hero. She doesn't care about the party, party leadership, or anything else.
And as we said, when because you've made the pie bigger, but the section smaller of the victims versus the oppressors, that eventually the victims become the oppressors. And now, if you're a Democrat, everybody is your oppressor. Even fellow Democrats are your oppressors. So how do you build any type of, you know, unity? You know, we saw this in the whole, if you've been paying attention the last couple of days, because of the, you know, the whole gay pride marches and, you know, the different marches where they didn't want the cops, you know, gay cops to march, and then they didn't want gay cops in uniforms to march. And a couple of the parades said, okay, cops in, you know, in uniforms. Then you had the whole thing with, you know, the LGBTQ and Israel and Jews. And it's like, we need to have tolerance and at the same time have some kind of intolerance. And that's the thing now. Everybody has their specific cause. And if you have your specific cause, then you demonize the opposition. And as we have said, you know, and I mentioned the gay pride, you know, parades and everything that's happened over the last week or so. The biggest oppressor right now, the LGBTQ, is Martina Navratilova.
Yeah.
And Julie, I can't think of what her name is. I can't think of her last name now, the feminist lesbian that is against the Equality Act, because it says that a man can be a woman whenever a man wishes to be a woman, which kills feminism completely.
Right.
If you want to get in, lines are open. We got a great show ahead. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Let's go to Peter in New York City. Peter, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
I think that the Democrats really want to lose. They want the people to take back the Democratic Party because they sold it to the far left and the socialists and Soros and this global warming group. That this is the only way for them to get out of it. They can't tell them no.
Well, I won't fully discount your theory, Peter, but because you know you do use a little bit of logic there, and thank you, sir, for the call. But it is this is the party. This is the future of the party. This is where they're going.
You know, I wish what you said is true, and it's humorous because they are so far out of any type of common sense and any type of critical thinking that you say, well, this has to be a philosophy to lose. Unfortunately, it is a philosophy that roughly half of America agrees with.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would vote differently.
Right. I mean,
until Americans start voting differently, I'm not going to say that the party does not represent the people, because the people keep voting the same way.
Right. And so there's really no change in the future. I don't see any change. For Travel Centers of America, here is your forecast.
A good portion of the east still experiencing spring-like temperatures, but the heat is really going to get cranked up in the west today. Even Boise, Idaho will be part of the action with 90-degree readings expected there. For Las Vegas, yesterday at 100, today 105. Tomorrow in Vegas is expected to be at 107. For Phoenix, 109 today. We'll break the 110-degree mark tomorrow with 111 degrees forecast. Central and Southern California will be part of the heat wave as well. If you'll be on the I-95 corridor today, the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic should be drying out. You'll see cloudy conditions for the Carolinas, perhaps some rain moving into Florida, that system moving offshore. For the Midwest and Deep South, mainly dry today with the exception of some late afternoon thunderstorms. The bulk of the rain showers today will be in the Northern and Central Plains. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Young, fresh, hip, and cool. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on the new Red Eye Radio.
What? Wait, one?
Just the new Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, okay.
All right, 866-90 Red Eye. Just to change the topic completely, because we had the NBA game last night. Raptors almost, but not good enough.
Yeah,
to take the NBA championship. But that's not where I actually wish to go.
No,
where I actually wish to go is the push. Now it looks like the NBA is going to take the incredible step of not calling owners owners.
Okay.
They're taking this unbelievable step.
All right.
The push by several NBA teams to remove the title owner from the person who purchases and manages the team has earned praise of social justice warrior and the wokest of woke rappers, Common. Speaking with TMZ Sports, the politically outspoken performer said, "The term owner never sat right with me."
Okay.
"I am so pleased," he said. "The term owner did not sit right with me. The history of what we have and what we are as black people in this country, it's not just being considerate of the history. The new terms that some NBA teams have adopted are managing partner and chairman."
Okay.
By the way, both managing has man in it, which makes it a gender crime, and chairman has man in it, which also makes it not a woke label.
Right. Bad move.
Common especially appreciated NBA Commissioner Adam Silver for referring to one team's majority investor as governor instead of owner.
Governor?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
"Nobody owns us," Common said. "These men are professionals."
Okay.
Now, apparently in the NBA believes if they pretend that an owner is not an owner, that the players will feel better.
Oh, yeah. I think it will change everything. it'll change everything.
Can we explain something to the NBA?
Probably a few things.
When you are owner of the team, you own the team.
Right.
That means you own, you can run that team as you wish to run it.
You run the organization, you employ through contracts.
Right.
Those players.
You do not, nobody has ever made the claim that you own the players.
I mean, as far as I know, they have their own lives, right? They take their money and they go spend it as they wish.
Yes.
Without permission of the owners.
The permission of the chairman, managing governors.
Managing governor partners.
People.
This is getting stupid.
Do we need to explain everything?
Yes, we do.
You own the team.
Yeah.
You do not own the players.
It's a company. It's an organization.
The relationship between the player and the owner is a relationship of employee to employer.
Right.
Each voluntarily decide to enter in to a contract with each other.
Right.
I don't know how else to explain it. But we're at the point. It's really good now that rappers are getting involved in social justice to pretend to change the definition of words. To call something what is and say it is not, but it still is.
Right.
Changing the name of the label of an owner of an NBA team to a governor or a chairman does not change the fact that they are the owner.
Yeah.
George Carlin was right when he said the worst thing about political correctness is what you do is you move further away from the truth.
Right. Well, I remember one time I was at this place, and this person was helping me with my dog. And I said, this is my dog, and blah, blah, blah. And someone else came into the room and asked something about and the dog, because there was a couple of dogs in the room. I said, yes, I'm her owner. Oh, that opened up a door. Well, you're her human, just jokingly, kind of not. But, you know, they were really doing that kind of political correctness correction, trying to do it with a smile on their face. She's your companion. You're her human. I said, tell that to the authorities if she bites someone in the butt. Go with that. And she's not going to. She doesn't bite. But if she does, go ahead and use that. Ridiculous. I own the dog.
I just, you know, when you look at where the left is going, and this is the whole thing. I mean, with the whole transgender activist movement that exists today, as we've always stated, look, you know, we live in a free country, and you can pretend to be whatever you wish to be.
Yep, live the way you want to live
for whatever reason,
right?
And you can wish to be the way, and you can make the judgment, and those that do that for a living can make the medical judgment or the psychological judgment of why you are.
Right.
And you can, or why you think the way that you think.
Right.
And you can have that debate all day. Biologically and scientifically, you are what you are. And end of story. And
right.
I do not have, you can live in the world that you wish to live in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to live in that world.
Well, and furthermore, I will not stand for the changing of the laws and the rules in order to fit that fantasy.
Oh, right, exactly.
You want to live that way, I'm with you, and I'll defend your right to live that way. Great. Don't change the meaning of words legally. Don't change the status legally. Don't change the laws that govern me.
The only thing I'm acquired by law, and by the way, I'm extremely passionate about this part of the law, is that you leave people alone.
Yep.
Any aggression should be punished severely and aggressively by law enforcement.
Yes.
Any physical contact, any violence. That being said, the fact that I don't agree with you, as we have seen from Julia Beck.
Yes, Julia Beck, yes.
Who was on the Baltimore LGBTQ panel and then was relieved of her duties, of her position, and accused of committing an act of violence because she stated that a male rapist who said he was a woman to get into a woman's prison and then rape women because she insisted on calling him a male, she was removed from the LGBTQ mayor's panel.
Right.
And accused of committing an act of violence.
Right.
She did not commit an act of violence. Her non-crime was stating the biological and scientific truth. But that's where we are today. But there you go with owners at the NBA. Can't call them owners anymore. Can't call them. Well, they are. They're owners.
Yes.
They own the team. You can call it whatever you want. You can say, we're not going to call them owners anymore. We're going to call them all Cubans.
Yeah. Okay.
After Mark Cuban.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can call them whatever you wish to call them. It does not change the fact they own the team. They do not own you.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the United States of America. Nobody owns you. You voluntarily sign a contract with them. And so, what are you accomplishing here? Except denying the truth. Or trying to pretend that you're victims if you call an owner of an NBA team.
Yes.
I'm a millionaire victim because they refer to the owners of the team as an owner. Well, because that's the definition.
They own the organization.
They own the organization. They don't own the people.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to make. That, remember, because we have had NBA players say, look, we're just high-paid slaves. Well, high-paid takes the slavery out of it.
So does the freedom that you enjoy each and every day.
Yes.
You don't have to be there. You can go anytime. Bye.
So I had to bring that with the NBA season. We'll be over here by Sunday. So, and from what I've heard, I haven't seen any of the games. But when I hear it's a great series, and I'm very happy for all my friends that live in Toronto right now. And hopefully, for you, hopefully you get what you want. And for Golden State, come on, you guys win all the time.
Look, all due respect to Steph Curry. You don't win every time, and you guys have a great record. Durant, all of them, that great thing. I hated to see Kawhi Leonard leave San Antonio, but to see that kind of success. See, we're outsourcing all of our championships to Canada. This is the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. But it was cool tonight. I saw a video. It was just a few seconds of it, but the crowd singing "O Canada" before the game. I mean, everybody chiming in.
By the way,
so
that's except for hockey.
What?
The United States is going to win in hockey this year.
No.
It's either going to be St. Louis or the Bruins.
Yeah, right. Well, turnabout's fair trade.
Now, see, that's fair trade.
There you go. We'll take care of the hockey for you. You guys take care of the basketball. Take care of the round ball.
You know what I saw over the weekend, because it was a Canadian Open, the Golf Open.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Canada has more golfers per capita than the United States?
Huh.
Yep. Per capita, Canada has more golf. Canada is more golf nuts than the United States per capita. Because that's how
I'm trying to think, like, weather-wise, do they have more time during the year to play? Or is it that they have less and they get out and they play more when they have that time?
Well, they have less, of
course. Yeah, so they're out.
Unless they play on skates.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be something.
Okay, wait a minute. We got to think this through. This could be the coolest thing ever. Skating golf. Ice golf. Oh, my gosh, that's got to happen. Somebody's already done this.
Somebody in Canada has done it.
If it's on ice, they've done it.
Yeah, they've done it. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley, 866-90 Red Eye. See, you found it, huh? You found it there? You found...
What's that? What? Which one?
Hockey golf. Or
oh, my gosh,
golf,
yeah. So I had to go and see if ice golf was a thing. And, of course, it's a bunch of YouTubers, but it's really cool. And, yeah, they, on lakes, there was one from, like, Siberia. Now, I couldn't see where any of them were, and I didn't have a chance to actually watch the videos, but I couldn't tell that any of them were actually wearing skates. Because for me, that would be it. Like, so, because you skate.
Yes.
You know, hockey skates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't skate. I trip. I fall. I slide. But imagine that. That would be cool. That would be a thing. Because it's one thing to, well, not saying it's easy, but it would be very different than putting a puck into the goal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd love to see that. That'd be fun. Ice golf. Let's make that a thing. Come on, ESPN 9. Wait a minute. Do they still have ESPN 2 as bad as badly as ESPN was. I haven't checked lately.
Oh, yeah. There's ESPN. Let me see. There's ESPN. There's ESPN 2. There's ESPN 3, which is online. Then there's ESPN Plus, which you can get. You pay.
It's like an app or something.
You pay like $4.99 a month for it, but you can get. During the season, you get every single basketball game on the planet.
Okay.
Every single college basketball game that you want to watch.
Right, right.
Is on it. But you can get it monthly and then just drop it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
As I did watch college, a couple of college basketball teams I wanted to watch
last year.
So yeah. So they've got, there's still a ton. And as we talked about, they're moving away from politics. I wonder if on ESPN they will call NBA owners owners.
Okay.
Or whether now the media will be required to not call them owners, but call them...
That brings up a good question. ESPN wants to move away from the whole PC thing and politics and all of that. Does sports? Because if you're covering sports, you're going to have to cover things like this.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
This hour is brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Out yesterday from the White House, but actually known since last Friday when it was leaked from the Army Times. But the White House announced Monday that former Army Staff Sergeant David Bellavia will become the first living Medal of Honor recipient for the war in Iraq for his heroism during the Second Battle of Fallujah in November of 2004. This from ABC News. The five previous Medals of Honor in the Iraq war were handed out posthumously, and Bellavia's award, is an upgrade from the Silver Star he had previously received. President Trump will present the award to Bellavia at a White House ceremony on June 25th. A few years ago, the Pentagon began a blanket review of all Valor awards to see if they should be upgraded. Bellavia is being honored for his heroism on November 10th, 2004, when he was a squad leader in Operation Phantom Fury, an American offensive on the Iraqi city of Fallujah. The Army veteran is credited with saving his entire squad that day after being pinned down by enemy fire coming from a block of houses. He quickly exchanged the M16 rifle for an M249 squad automatic weapon, entered the house where his squad was trapped, and engaged insurgents, providing cover fire so that he and his fellow soldiers could exit safely, said a White House statement. When an armored Bradley fighting vehicle could not fire directly into the house, Bellavia reentered the house, armed only with an M16, and attacked insurgents who had been firing rocket-propelled grenades. He proceeded to kill one insurgent and wound another, who then ran to another part of the house. Then Staff Sergeant Bellavia was soon engaged by another insurgent rushing down the stairs. When the previously wounded insurgent reemerged to engage him as well, Bellavia was able to return and kill both attackers. Then he took enemy fire from an insurgent who appeared from a closet across the room. He pursued him up the stairs and killed him, the White House had in a statement. Bellavia then went to the roof where he engaged and wounded a fifth insurgent who fell from the roof of the building. The reason that, I've been talking about this no matter what, but David works with a bunch of my old friends. David became a fill-in talk show host at my old radio station in Buffalo, New York, WBEN, a few years back. He would fill in, and he's become a full-time radio talk show host, conservative radio talk show host in Buffalo, New York. I've never met him, but some of my closest, oldest radio friends work with him. And said he's the most humble guy you've ever want to meet. Reading here what the White House put out does not at all give you an idea of what it was like for him. He's done a few videos. The one out there on YouTube, Battle of Fallujah, David Bellavia, which I think it was done. I can't tell if the guy's Australian or Australian accent or British accent, but it was a foreign video that was done. And what was not here in the ABC story is how he had to go hand to hand combat, and how he had to kill people hand to hand combat in that house. And when he talks about that when you're in combat and you kill somebody up close, and he talks about the fact of the one guy that he killed and right in front of him who died right there, and his eyes looking at you, and in the video said, I'll never get that SOB's eyes out of my entire life. I'll be haunted by that. But he said, when it comes down to it, after all of that, and he talked about in combat how you have to become a warrior. And he said, even in the video, he says, you have to become. I became John Wayne. I had to become John Wayne for that moment, because if you don't, you die.
Right.
You have no choice. And he said, it's a state of mind in that moment that most human beings will never, ever experience. And he looks at the life, that he lives now. He's, married, kids, whatever that, but he said at that moment, he said, you become a warrior. He said, you have no choice. It's either them or you. But he talks about, you realize, and we've talked about the sacrifice that people, that people go through.
Right.
And, that soldiers go through. We just, talked about Memorial Day. Before this all happened, too, a lot of people in his squad, including his commander, were killed.
Hmm.
And as this battle continued. Hmm. So if you can, I'll see if I can find some of the video to play here. I think he gets the Medal of Honor on June 25th from the president. But watching some of the videos, you can see it. You can see it in his eyes. You can see how it changes your life, as he said, forever, and he'll always be haunted by it. But then he ended it by saying, but the point is, do you appreciate life?
Right,
do you appreciate,
right.
After all that, right, experience, do you appreciate life? And he talked about appreciating every single little moment of life after you go through something like that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Just want to make sure that we gave note to the incredible courage and bravery of David, who said this award. He said this award's not for me; it's for everybody.
Sure,
he said, I may be getting this. This is for everybody, because everybody sacrifices. He said, so he'll be sharing this with everyone. He said he'll probably never ever, get over, getting this. He'll never be able to process it in his head. From what I know, and I've heard him before on the air, he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's a really good guy, and as a talk show host, does his homework. Mm-hmm. And from what I heard this is through a friend of mine who was listening to him, he did a great job breaking down the whole thing of Russian collusion.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, tremendous job of breaking it down. But
wow.
You realize that, when I read stories like this, and yesterday I got response from some of my friends who work with him, and that was the one that came out of it. You cannot find a more humble human being.
Right, yeah.
But when you think about what war takes from you, and most of us will never ever experience that. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate it, but you wonder what it's like to go through and do what he had to do when you have to kill people up close.
Right.
Even with inside a house with firearms and then with knives.
Right.
And you're talking about a scene as bloody as you can get. and you have to go from that to normal life again.
Every day.
And every day, yes, that's a great, as he said, you have to go from that point every single day. Because he said you'll never get it out of your mind. The people that you kill up close will haunt you for the rest of your life.
You know, I don't even know that we're even beginning to understand. Well, I don't know if we can fully understand the effects, the depths of PTSD. And it affects different people different ways. I have family members, and I know that they're dealing with it. And, you know, even these are people that obviously I'm very, very close to. And I have no answers. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing but to see them every day being productive, mm-hmm. being, you know, going through their lives. And we understand that there are plenty that are suffering and don't immediately get back to that. But I don't know if bravery is even, it just seems like a small word in this case. You know, he describes what he had to do, but that's beyond my comprehension. That scene, that moment, that event is far beyond what my mind is capable of understanding. And it's that staunch reminder of how grateful we should be. I mean, for all the whiners and complainers, I've done my share of whining, by the way. But I mean, it's just gotten ridiculous. And you think of the people that voluntarily go into situations like this. It's amazing.
He ran for Congress too, a couple of times. Never got through the primary, so
yeah.
But he ran for Congress. So he has an interest in that also. But when you think about it, and watching some of the video, and I'll be watching a lot of the different videos that have been done on him and programs that have been done on him. But the first living Medal of Honor recipient from the Iraq War, So, From what I know, like I said, I've never met him, but I just, friends that I trust know him and say you cannot find a better quality individual anywhere than David Bellavia. So,
well, we are eternally grateful for his service.
We certainly are. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on summer driving. During the summer, one of a driver's best friends is a tire gauge. Proper tire pressure is essential for the long-term health of your tires and the safety of your vehicle, but it's even more important during the summer. Tire pressure can fluctuate 1 to 2 pounds per square inch for every 10 degrees the temperature rises. As a best practice, use a gauge to check tire pressure when it's cold, and check that the tire remains inflated by thumping it when parked during the day. If your tires are set to the correct cold pressure, you're in good shape for any potential rise in temperature. Still, check your pressure regularly throughout the day. Tread depth also matters. If your tread depth sinks below 2/32 of an inch for non-steer tires and below 4/32 for steer tires, it's time to replace them. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
I just love this here from CNN. Democrats apparently had high hopes for Monday afternoon's hearing about the Mueller report with John Dean and other witnesses, but the crash landing of a helicopter in midtown Manhattan shifted cable news attention from D.C. to New York City, the hearing reached a fraction of the audience it otherwise would have attracted.
Yeah.
Representative Steve Cohen blasted the control room decision-making in an interview with MSNBC's Ari Melber later in the day. The president's guilty of obstruction of justice, Cohen said. I think we had a successful hearing. It's just how many people saw it, I don't know. It should have been on MSNBC. It should have been on CNN. It should have been on Fox and not just on C-SPAN 3.
All right.
I only get C-SPAN 1 and 2.
Yeah, I don't get 3.
I don't think most people get 3. But how impactful would the hearing have really been? Or to put it another way, what are you hearing about? The Republicans seem to have a more clear and consistent message. The other side is out to destroy Trump than the Democrats do.
Hmm. The helicopter crash was obviously a top story for a reason. First of all, where it happened.
You don't know, right.
And there was no telling what had happened and what was behind it, why it happened. And so there was a great deal of attention given to it. And on top of that, the little show will never be as important as anything else. Certainly not a helicopter crash near Times Square in New York City.
And 99.9% of Americans have no idea who John Dean is.
Right.
Now, I know who John Dean is, mm-hmm. but when they said John Dean was going to testify, I never thought it was that John Dean.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know when I saw the first headline on it. John Dean, who's John Dean? He worked for Trump. Because that was the whole point when they said former White House counsel. So I'm thinking, well, Trump can claim executive privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I did see on Twitter somebody said, yeah, apparently nobody knows who's John Dean. And I was telling somebody about the hearing going on. They said, yeah, Jimmy Dean, what does he have to do with it?
Yeah. Nope.
So that was just a bust.
Look, it was going to be a bust if there were no other news stories during the day. You know, it wasn't going to go anywhere. It really wasn't going to carry at all because it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply.
No, it doesn't.
If you had Christopher Steele up there,
now
we're talking
now
about something.
That would have been it.
That John Dean means two things to this equation: diddly and squat. Nothing, zero. It's just ridiculous. But it's the continuation of the show. We're going to put on the show.
It is a jump the shark moment. It really is when you think about it. And so early on.
Yeah, right.
You know, you think about it, it's like, this is the best you can do. And Jim Jordan made such a great point. Cohen was your number one.
Right.
Guy, and now you bring out John Dean.
Yeah.
Both convicted felons.
Right.
What?
This is a good choice? Yeah, all right. Keep going. Well, I just wonder what in the world is going through the minds of these individuals. Seriously. What was in their mind where they said, oh, no, this is going to do it. This is going to be huge. This is going to work. This will convince the American people that he needs to be impeached.
I really view it as the panic of lost rage. You're
right.
Lost. You don't know where to go, and you're just full of rage. And there's a panic that comes in it after the Mueller report and everything else, when you realize you don't have the goods, but you have a political party that you and a rank and file that you have convinced this guy is evil and has done wrong, even if nobody can find the wrong, there is wrong out there because they're filled with what I call lost rage. They lost and they're still full of rage because they hate the guy and they hate the fact that he beat Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And there's no way to satisfy that kind of lost rage and the panic that comes with that when you're the leader, when you're part of the leadership of this lost rage.
Right.
You have nowhere else to go. You just do what comes to the top of your mind. At least we're doing something.
I
really believe that's what's going on.
Right.
At least we're doing something. We're continuing the narrative somehow.
But
well, where do you go next week?
Well, no, seriously, where do you go next week? A guy who knew a guy who knew a Russian who was interested in American politics. I mean, it's just stupid.
Well, what are they going to do? All right, on today, Gerald Nadler's Judiciary Committee is going to show all the president's men. It'll be movie time.
And we'll pause it to make comments.
Let's bring,
see, that's exactly what happened with Trump.
Let's bring Robert Redford in,
yeah.
Because he knows what it, because they, yeah, did the entire script, and he, right, had to read the entire script of all the president's men. Let's bring him in.
Because it's exactly the same.
Yes, because there's no difference.
Yes. We'll bring
Dustin Hoffman in, too.
Yes. And they'll talk about how this is exactly the same thing.
Except this isn't a movie with Trump.
Yes. Although we'll make a movie when we're done here.
Disturbing on so many levels. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently as Freightliner's number one goal. If you miss a show or part of a show, you can always podcast. We podcast this show every day. Go to redeyeradioshow.com, keyword podcast. Click on demand while you're there and check out also the Extra Mile, where I talk with industry individuals and the trucking industry individuals, experts and executives and drivers and lots of people from the trucking industry giving me their take on things. Lots of stuff, including regulation, how to get better fuel mileage. Henry Albert from Freightliner's Team Run Smart, who has been a genius when it comes to fuel mileage and big rigs. Lots of stuff there at the Extra Mile podcast, part of our podcast family. It's a family. Go to redeyeradioshow.com, keyword podcast.
Bill Maher is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
He can be honest and a political hack at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's the headline. Bill Maher, Hillary Clinton committed obstruction of justice. Monday on CNN's Cuomo Prime Time, during a discussion about the media with host Chris Cuomo, comedian and HBO host Bill Maher acknowledged 2016 Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton committed obstruction of justice. Maher said he didn't have much faith in the media to do its job during the 2020 presidential campaign, given the main objective is profit, and cited how he thought Clinton's emails during the 2016 cycle was uncovered. But while admitting she had obstructed justice, he added President Donald Trump's alleged obstruction of justice violation was a much worse fashion, but he didn't give specific details of how. Quote, she committed obstruction of justice. Now, Trump did as much in a worse fashion, you know.
What?
But smashing your phones? They uncovered it. They beat it to death. I mean, even Bernie Sanders said in one of those early debates, enough about the early Hillary emails. I don't know. I don't trust the media. If that's the question, that's my answer. Hillary committed obstruction of justice, yeah, because he said the smashing of the phones, but Trump's was worse. How?
Right.
Of course, he can't explain it. Like I said, he can be honest and a political hack at the same time.
Right.
That's pretty unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always trying to walk the line.
Right.
Because you know he's independent. He's not left or right. Jeez. Seriously.
I just got a kick out of that. I mean, that's. And, you know, he gets a lot of publicity, but I don't know of HBO, but I've watched the show a couple times. Mm-hmm. He's not good. He's a snark, but he's not good.
Yeah, I don't consider.
He was much better when he was had a guest spot on Married with Children.
I have HBO, and I I've never tuned in to watch a full program. I mean, I've seen basically what you and I have covered if we play a clip, right? If we play audio from the show. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in it.
It can be very snarky, and some of the jokes are just dumb. I mean, but when it comes... Yeah, and at times he can show some intellectual honesty, but then he can, just as he shows that, then he... Here's the point. He realizes I can go... He realizes that his bread and butter is liberal audience.
Yeah, right, sure.
But he wants to retain that little bit of, as you said, independence.
So yeah, yeah, right.
So to do that, he tells a little bit of the truth. Well, yeah, Hillary committed obstruction of justice, you know, smashing the phones. Duh!
Right.
But what Trump did was much worse. Well, please explain to us how. You explain the obstruction of justice with Hillary... Please, because smashing the phones would be something that would be illegal because you're attempting to hide evidence of the crime. And the crime was what? The crime was putting the server in your own home.
She violated the Espionage Act.
Yes. She did it in order to sidestep the Freedom of Information Act. That's a separate crime from the Espionage Act, but still, two separate crimes committed by putting the server in her house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just get a kick out of it. But Trump did worse. How? Explain how. You can explain Hillary's obstruction of justice.
Right.
Explain Trump's.
Right.
Specifically, how did Trump commit obstruction of justice?
Mr. Mueller.
I mean, we're still going down the same path. And as we said, anybody, whether it's you see that Amash was kicked off the House Conservative Caucus.
Oh yeah, right. Freedom Caucus.
For the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
But even when he said, well, those who are saying that Trump didn't commit obstruction of justice because there was no underlying crime, you can still commit obstructions with no underlying crime. Well, we didn't say that. Your premise is wrong.
Yep.
We didn't say that was the only thing. We said that's part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
There was no underlying crime to begin with, which goes to intent when you're looking for obstruction of justice. Intent is part of a crime. Were they intending to obstruct justice? Did they commit a crime and therefore their intent was to cover it up? Well, no, you don't have that. Number two, what you don't have is you don't have an illegal act, smashing the phones as Hillary did, in order to hide her crime. There was no illegal activity of trying to hide any evidence because he can constitutionally fire the FBI director. Number three, the third part of it, he never obstructed any justice because firing Comey didn't obstruct any justice. The investigations were never hampered. There was never any type of evidence that disappeared. Everyone knew that if you fired Comey, it didn't stop the investigation. So when you have those three things together, that's how you throw obstruction of justice out the window.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, take a swipe at Hillary. Oh, I also need to take a swipe at Trump. Based on nothing.
Well, that's where I can play the middle here. And I can play the middle and still keep my liberty. Trump is worse.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
He sits there and thinks, I believe, I can get away with this. Right. I can say Hillary committed obstruction of justice, but I could, and as long as I state afterwards that Trump is worse, we'll explain how. And he can't do it.
No.
But I just thought it was interesting that's sort of been Bill Maher's MO. I'll throw a little bit out there and say the Democrats are wrong here, but always, no matter what, the Republicans are worse, even if I can't explain how they are worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Because liberals don't expect an explanation.
Well, he knew where he was in that setting. He wasn't going to be asked a follow-up to say, explain that, please. You believe he committed obstruction based on what? That wasn't going to come from CNN. I mean, you walk around in a world of morons, you can get away with anything. Anything. I would really love to test that, by the way. I'd really love to test that. Just to see, just to pretend to be a Trump hater for however long, and just see what I could get, how far I could go before one of them went, oh, well, that's a little too far. You know?
No, it's a great point.
I mean, because I would just write the scripts in my mind. I would have it ready, and man, I would just go off. You know, Amash is one thing. The Never Trumpers convention. I don't know if they're you know still having their party or not. Bill Kristol and I don't know who else is left.
Well, George Will really hasn't said a lot lately. I mean,
not really. I mean, I guess he still gets in. I guess he still has credentials. But whether it's that or just all of a sudden, boom, I flip liberal and then, you know, I mean, we talked about how we should do this thing where we're just going to go out and we're going to just promote man-made global warming, and we're just going to go out and we're just going to say anything, right? We're just going to go to all these areas. And we're going to charge for admission. We're going to sell books. We're just going to say all these things because nobody's ever going to ask you to prove it. We'd be heroes on the left and rich all day.
Think we couldn't make more money going to the other side?
Now, Shapiro might come after us. Ben, people don't know. Ben is an avid liberal hunter. He can hunt you down. And he can definitely make you wish you hadn't said that.
Early in my talk radio career, it was April Fool's. This goes back. I was only a talk show host for a year or two. Mm. I decided to play a liberal on the show, you know, on April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted about 20 minutes.
After a 19-minute commercial break.
Well, I came back. There was a phone call, and the first caller was it was a guy who I actually hired then. When I became a talk show host, I was station manager of a small radio station, and I actually hired a guy who was a caller.
Mm-hmm.
I hired a guy who was a caller, and he had called he had called talk shows for years, and I said he's pretty good, and he was a really good talk show host,
right?
But he called me up. This is before, you know, this is a couple of years before I made him a talk show host. But he called me up. All right, Mac, look, stop it. It's April Fool's.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So I didn't even get by one caller with it. No, I didn't even get people go, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, for me, the thing about this idea is that I know I could sit on that panel and just, but I just wonder how far I could go, what I could say. You know, the obstruction thing from Bill Maher, that's easy, man. That's low-hanging fruit. That's fruit that's already on the ground.
Well, and with the Amash, it's the same thing.
Yes,
we were easily able to tear that apart and say, well, no, your premise is wrong. It's not just one thing. It's the combination of everything together.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing that leads you to obstruction of justice because you don't have intent. You don't have a crime. You don't have an underlying crime, and you don't have a crime to obstruct.
Right.
And then there was no obstruction to begin with. So you can't. What you're trying to do, and Dershowitz, I think, had it perfect when Dershowitz said, what you're trying to say is that the thought crime.
Exactly.
That we're not sure the thought would be, well, does he think that something else that we may uncover something else outside of obstruction? And so even if it's outside of that particular crime, or maybe he didn't know what somebody else was doing, and so maybe if he had a sliver of thought and he thought to himself, well, there may be some other crime out there that I don't even know what it might be that I or somebody else might have committed, even though I have no idea what it is. And so if I fire Comey and I think about that thought for like 5 seconds, then that's obstruction of justice. I mean, that's basically where they're going.
Yes.
And as Dershowitz said, well, that's a thought crime.
Right.
Can't punish the thought crime. You punish the behavior. You punish behavior, illegal behavior, and then you can use the intent as part of the justification for charging somebody with a crime because you know what their intent is to commit that illegal behavior.
Right.
Well, you don't have that.
Right. But it doesn't matter. None of the rules, the process, it does not apply here. And it's all based on the hatred for one person. That's what it comes down to.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 of Red Eye. One of the things that we had talked about yesterday was the Mexican deal, sort of deal, whatever. And, mm-hmm. and we have stated we believe that the president was on the path to get some kind of deal by Monday. What would have happened by Monday, we don't know. But we believe that the administration accelerated the signing of the deal. Because of the bad economic news that came out on Friday.
Right.
Got a couple of responses when, you know, from, because we had talked about one response we had gotten where we had said that the job numbers were pretty bad. And some of the response we got back was, well, you guys are saying the economy's bad when people aren't being hired, but we've run out of people to be hired. Well, that isn't the case. I mean, nobody has predicted that, but that's not how we do. We don't judge the economy by one statistic. And we'll get to that coming up following the top of the hour, because that was, you guys are taking one day. No, we're not.
We don't
do that. We look at everything from the shipping index, which just came out the other day.
And, right.
And if you take everything together, truck, train, barge, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Down.
Yes. Right.
And so when you look at that, that means we're transporting less goods. Those are some of the concerns that we have when it comes to judging an economy. So we'll get to that and more on the way.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE, and the world, because we are available on so many different platforms. You can listen to us on our app. You can listen to us at Red Eye Radio Show. Is it .com or .net?
It's .com.
Okay. I always keep thinking.
It's always been .com.
I know, but I always mess it up with one of my own emails, which is .net. So I always.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
You should try it sometime. We're on a bunch of stations and everything. So. Maybe you've heard of it, Red Eye Radio.
Well, I listen to it each and every
two morons talking about things.
Each and every night, I listen to it. There isn't a night.
I don't.
There isn't a night when I'm not on that I don't listen to Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, I'm listening to Nori right now, so whatever.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, RedEyeRadioShow.com. Please go check it out. We podcast. If you miss a show. You know, or share it with friends.
Just want to give a little bit of a further explanation for something that we were talking about yesterday. And look, on this whole thing with the whole Mexican deal.
Mm-hmm.
And look, people got to remember what the initial tweet was from the president. The initial tweet was, we either stop illegal immigration or the tariffs go on. That it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we said, don't make such a proclamation that it stopped. If you're trying to get somewhere and you want to negotiate, fine. But to say, so did the president have any successes? It looks like they were on their way to having some successes, and they may have accelerated the amount, you know, at the southern border, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's stating it's not a good thing. But What happened, we believe, is that when the bad economic news came out on Friday, the White House said, okay, this is as far as we can go. Let's get the deal done. Now, whether they would have ever put the tariffs on, whether it would have come to Monday or not, we don't know. Now, the president has been railing about the whole deal since we apparently came to an agreement on it, and threatening tariffs again and again and again. The market apparently doesn't believe him. But the president did show his hand. That's the thing that we brought up. The president did show his hand by, again, not getting as much as he would have liked to get, nearly as what he would like to get, because the initial thing that he wished to get was to stop illegal immigration. Now, he said it, we did. These are what he said he wishes to do, not what Eric and I have proclaimed we wish to see at the border, even though we would like to see illegal immigration stop. But these are the things that he has said, not us. This is what he would do if he didn't get this. And it was clearly illegal immigration stop, which, well, wait a minute, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can put through some measures, and that's fine. Now, there's been a great debate going back and forth as to what the president got. The president said that he got Mexico to buy, a ton of new agricultural products. Mm-hmm. The ambassador said that's not true, that wasn't a part of the deal. Now, it'll happen if we get USMCA and all that, but that wasn't what happened. The president had a lot of pushback inside the White House, even from Lighthizer, who is more of a protectionist. He thought it was the wrong move for the president. So who knows what happened? We can't tell you what happened inside the White House, but we assume that the White House felt the pressure after the economic numbers came out. Now, this is in regards to the economic numbers, which we had said were a lot below what was expected, both the private sector numbers, which came out last Wednesday, and then the Labor Department numbers that came out on Friday. And we had some response saying, well, no, what's happening is we've run out of workers, and so that's actually a good thing. There are no more people to take the jobs, so the economy is actually doing fine. We don't make our judgments based on one statistic. Okay, when we look and we say that we're worried about where the economy is going, we worry about it because of a number of factors. Number one, every single economic group out there, from the Labor Department to what's the private one called?
ADP.
ADP numbers. They look into the fact of whether the labor is available or not. So when they make their predictions and say, we believe that we're going to have 200,000 or 230,000 or 240,000 people that enter the workforce, jobs out there, they take into consideration how many people are available. All right, so that's one thing. So that's already fit into it. Number two, we look at wages. If the number of jobs that are extremely small, and you see that wages go up drastically, well, then you can look at that point and say, okay, it's really a tightening of the labor market in that particular month or in that particular set of months, whatever you wish to look at. And that's not happening with wages either. But that's not the only thing that we look at. Again, when we say we're worried about where the economy is going, we're looking at the statistics that we know. Now, Eric and I really don't make predictions. We don't sit there, because I think that most that try are just guessing. We see remember when you look at White House numbers for projections.
Right.
And we used to look at the Obama numbers that were their look at projections for what the GDP would be totally bizarre and absurd, and they never got close to it. So we've always stated, oh, there's always politics involved in it. And when the Fed looks at it, the Fed gets it wrong all the time. And they probably have a lot more people working on it than we do. So we don't attempt to look at and say, this is the future. And if we do say we do look at the future, it's strictly looking at the past numbers or a succession of numbers over a period of time.
A number of indicators and what we have available to us.
Right. And some of the numbers that we have looked at, for example, rail traffic is down and lower than last year. January was up 1.1%. Okay, this is rail traffic.
Mm-hmm.
February, down 0.2%. March, down 1.8%. April, down 1.9%. And May, down 2.9%. That's not good.
No.
Even though trucking did go up in April, when you look at trucking and rail combined, when you look at everything, when you look at truck, rail, air, and barge, even though trucking was up, overall, shipping fell 3.2% in April compared to April of last year. The fifth month in a row of year-over-year declines.
Right.
So shipping goods is what makes the economy go. You can get an indicator as to where the economy is headed. Those are just, and we look at more numbers than that, but those are just an example of the numbers that we look at. We just don't sit there and say, oh, that one number came out, and therefore we know the economy is bad. No, we look at a number of different statistics out there that are being judged by the government and by private sector organizations that do that day in and day out.
Yeah, one of the things, Morgan Stanley, in fact, yesterday, they released a note, essentially kind of like a statement during the day that suggested that its proprietary industry metric, the truckload freight index for trucking, may be near its bottom as orders for new Class 8 trucks crash and steady clip of carrier bankruptcies bleeds capacity from the market. I've been watching that actually over the last few weeks, the bankruptcy stories. So, again, they reading from a number of sources, and again, no one index or even snapshot or report from a period can tell you the entire story, but it gives you a snapshot of where we are right now. There can be a bounce. There can be, in fact, there was a bit of an uptick from May going into June, you know, and here we are in trucking. And so that can be a good sign, but there's been fluctuation. What have we seen? Steel and aluminum tariffs gone. Hopefully the situation with Mexico stays consistent. But the factories really kind of dictate a lot of that with trucking. If other nations are not buying from our factories, it slows trucking way down.
Well,
but right now, it's kind of for the first quarter, at least, and maybe into the second quarter, it's kind of flat for the year if you average everything out.
Right. And like I said, when you look at when you combine everything together, and that's mm-hmm. barge and rail and all that, and rail, even though rail's been down, it has been buffered by the fact that they're shipping more crude oil.
Right, yeah.
So that's one of the things that's
yep.
actually been up, mm-hmm. which is buffering those numbers.
And LNG, I don't know what impact that has had, but that started recently as well. So, yeah, I mean, there could be a number of things, you're right, of things that would be in full demand regardless of whatever tariffs might be in place or anything else. I mean, energy is going to have a high demand. Right now, there's a pretty steady demand for that raw crude being shipped out of the U.S.
And the concern we have, again, with the president using tariffs is the market doesn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The problem. And the president, and again, I think they tried to alleviate it by saying, okay, no tariffs on Mexico, and then the president claiming, but they could be back again very soon. And that's what the market doesn't want to see, because the market at that point doesn't know what to do. And our concern has always been, as we've said before, for all the greatness of this president and all the faults, or all the faults of this president,
mm-hmm.
There is no other choice.
No.
And if the economy isn't doing good, that hurts his chances.
Yep.
We believe this president needs a very good economy in order to win. Based on what? Based on the numbers of how he won the 2016 election. Nothing that we talk about is based on emotion or what we feel we want. We look at the numbers.
Right. Yep. It is
Same.
Something we get these numbers as they come in. You can assess them and show or I guess determine what they indicate. Look at what everybody else is saying. And right now, I think we're at that point. I think if you look at the GDP numbers, the last GDP numbers that came out, those were fairly solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to worry about. you look at a number of things right now, and again, you're at that break-even point. You're at essentially steady or even no losses for the year. You've got to, there are other things to consider. Okay, where does that go from here? If you look at the ADP numbers of 27,000, that's staggering. You have to go back a number of years. I think it was 2010, the last time it was that low. And that's private sector. It doesn't include government jobs. That's not the unemployment numbers. But that's the economy flinching. And you don't want it to. This president, as you mentioned just now, but there's no way around it. He needs the good economy.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got a great economy going into next year, and there are things you can't control as a president. There are certain things you can't control. There are many things you can in this case. Not only do you need the great economy, you need certainty, confidence by your trade partners who are helping to reestablish those trade routes.
Your farmers
rural
areas
in the Midwest. They're going to have that confidence that you're not going to use that in your second term, knowing that you will never run for office again. So you may use it on a whim. You may use it, you know, when you feel like it, and very often. And that is something they have to consider. You need that voter base. You need those Midwest states. There's no other way around it. And if you have a number of those farmers who are filing for bankruptcy or going through harsh times. I mean, they deal with the weather and they deal with a number of things that affect their business. That they can't control. They can't control the weather. They can control who they vote for, and they will. And that's going to be something that needs to be shored up before you get into the heart of the campaign season.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio, he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just got to throw this in here.
Yeah.
A new study on the top states where dads are the main homework helpers, just because Father's Day is coming up.
Oh,
here,
okay, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe
right,
wondering,
right.
Father's Day, who does these surveys?
Would that even come up?
And it's like, it's just not moms who help. Well, actually,
who thought it was?
I
moms.
I don't know.
I don't have kids in school, but my grandkids, I'm the last person that should be helping them with their homework. They're very smart.
There it is. Top states where dads are the main homework helpers:
yeah.
Florida, New York, Ohio, California, Pennsylvania, and Texas.
None of that.
I have no idea what that means.
Well, no. I thought maybe we'd see a pattern in those states.
No, you don't.
I don't see one.
No. No, you don't. And Dad didn't help me with my homework.
He told you to do it.
Dad told me to do it and stood over me.
DTJ.
DTJ, right. Do
Thank
the job.
Thank you, John McNamara. Do the job.
Do the job.
Yeah.
Stood over me with a sledgehammer aimed at my head.
Yeah, I mean,
is that the kind of help we're talking about? That may not be the kind of help we're talking.
Yeah,
that
right.
That might have been the help in 1967. Might not be the help we're talking about in 2019.
Here. Homework helper sounds like something a cheap meal in a box that you add hamburger to. I don't know. I loved that growing up. For me at home, I mean, it was this really. It was. No, you don't have to do your homework. You have to make the grade. You don't have to do your homework. You don't want to do your homework.
Well, I think it's the most amazing thing about your life. This is the thing, people. You have no. I tell this to people all the time. You have no idea what you're going to be doing in your life.
Right.
Something that you think you would never ever do because it's something you hated more than anything as a young person. You may love doing later on in life. For example, there is nobody on the planet Earth except for my brother that hated homework more than I did.
Mm. Right.
What kind of a job do I choose?
Mm.
A job that's all you do.
We do nothing but homework.
It's all I do is homework.
I mean,
I
was running errands today, and I was sitting in my truck in front of my house.
This is
but everything was breaking. There was so much stuff coming across. I couldn't get out of my car because I'm attached to that tiny computer in my hand.
Same with me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the fun part of the day.
Yeah.
The rest of I loathe the end of the show because it's homework time again till I come back on again.
Right. Yes.
It's homework all the time. How did I ever pick a job that is homework?
Nothing but homework.
Nothing but homework. Yeah, no.
Here's your forecast.
A good portion of the east still experiencing spring-like temperatures, but the heat is really going to get cranked up in the west today. Even Boise, Idaho will be part of the action with 90-degree readings expected there. For Las Vegas, yesterday at 100, today 105. Tomorrow in Vegas is expected to be at 107. For Phoenix, 109 today. We'll break the 110-degree mark tomorrow with 111 degrees forecast. Central and Southern California will be part of the heat wave as well. If you'll be on the I-95 corridor today, the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic should be drying out. You'll see cloudy conditions for the Carolinas, perhaps some rain moving into Florida, that system moving offshore. For the Midwest and Deep South, mainly dry today with the exception of some late afternoon thunderstorms. The bulk of the rain showers today will be in the Northern and Central Plains. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Conservatives. Feel free to heckle them. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
You know, we're going to have to sit down with a big guy and just talk to him for a few minutes.
Yeah, because old and white have nothing to do with it.
No. You can heckle us for any reason. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And
I'm all right with that.
And I'm not really white. Should I be offended?
It's a weird color.
Because I'm not. Look at my skin. Is that white?
I don't know what color that is.
I know. It's not really white.
No, it's weird. No, that's a good point. You know, I know. The other day, I heard someone say, I know it like I know the back of my hand. And I just happened to look down at the back of my hand and said, what the hell is that? Man, I need to look at the back of my hand more. No, I don't know what color that is. Pasty doesn't even
now. That's begin. That's white privilege.
What's that?
The claim that we're white when we're really not. Well, look at this is white. That's the white. I'm looking at white now. That's does my skin look like that?
No, no.
See, that's
your
a privilege.
Skin doesn't really look like anything else.
It's
unique.
So, in essence, by saying that we're white, we are, in essence, progressive because we are transracial. Then.
We have pasty privilege. Weird alien-like tone privilege.
That's my skin color.
You know what's going to happen?
Alien.
You know
extraterrestrial. That's it. That's my skin color. That's,
what's going to happen is one day I'm just going to be I don't know, vacationing or whatever, and the people over at Area 51 are going to just send a vehicle out, abduct me. You're supposed to be in here. No, I'm human. Yeah, that's what they all say.
Did you Did you see? Because Fox had it on their website yesterday. It really didn't go far, but they have to have Fox now. Every day has to have the conservative websites are starting to do this now. They have to have some stupid story. Either it has to do with some other actress in her bikini or scantily clad somewhere.
Right.
Or now, did you see the picture of the woman in a security camera, the elf?
Okay, the one that goes out and it's dancing in the driveway? All right.
Now, that's white.
That's weird, man.
You want white? That was white.
That's weird. Isn't it? So I saw that it was supposed to, everybody was saying it looks like a character in one of the Harry Potter movies or something.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Harry Potter movies.
Neither did I. I didn't. When I saw the story yesterday, I said, I don't know how to pronounce the name of that elf because I've never seen it.
Yeah. It also looks like people on methamphetamines. So, let's be clear. I saw some of the people that were, throwing out their theories. Well, it looks like it could be a puppet. No, it looks like somebody dressed their skinny little kid in some weird costume.
Yes,
and sent them out to dance in the driveway and get it on the security cam. I don't know what this is. Yeah, you do. Shut up. It's your kid in a stupid costume.
And the Fox News story had the whole thing on Harry Potter.
Right, right. Could this be a... No. No. No, it couldn't be. It's just so stupid.
And I actually watched the video, and you can hear the sound. You can hear the...
Yeah, right, right. Sound of the feet.
The feet.
Right. Yeah. You know, I don't know, man. People are just strange.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a Harry Potter elf.
That's
Thanks,
right.
Fox News.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is. Breaking news.
Can you imagine? There you are. I just got hired by Fox News.
Uh-huh.
All right, we want you to do this elf story.
Yeah.
Anybody on the elf story?
Come
on. You're a conservative going, I finally got to work for Fox. What am I going to do? We're putting you on the, you're on Elf Patrol.
Yeah. Of all the things we've been waiting to get on camera, it's the elf from Harry Potter. We finally got it.
From what we've just heard, Gerald Nadler has just announced.
Yes.
The elf will be testifying tomorrow.
The driveway elf will talk about collusion. Why not?
What?
It makes as much sense as what happened on Monday.
That's right. I did love that when I saw that on social media. Yeah, my friend asked me, what's Jimmy Dean testifying in front of Nadler's committee?
No. Not Jimmy Dean. It's not Jimmy Dean.
How to grind the political sausage.
Yes, exactly. The making of the political
the
sausage.
The making of the political sausage, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
we are so doomed. Could it be the elf from the... We've all turned in to Don Lemon. Could it be the elf from Harry Potter? Could it be the elf from Harry Potter? What do you think? Could it be the elf from Harry Potter? You think it's the elf from Harry Potter?
Right. Fox News, don't turn into Don Lemon. And for people that don't know what we're talking about, after the disappearance of Malaysia 370, Don Lemon was on CNN, and they had this prepared. They talked about it in the meeting because they had
graphics and everything.
Yeah. Is it a black hole?
Yeah.
Did a black hole?
Some are saying it could be a black hole. What do you think? Is it a black hole?
And then it goes to Mary Schiavo, who's one of the world's most renowned experts on airplane crashes.
Yeah.
No, Donna, no, because a black hole would have sucked in the whole...
Yeah, we'd all be gone.
The whole planet.
It wouldn't be just that flight. It would be every flight and every piece of matter.
In the solar system,
Don. Okay?
Oh, I
can we start this interview over, please?
All these aviation... You know, these are science people.
Yeah.
You know, these are like NT, you know, National Transportation Board people.
Right.
And that's what they've got that same mindset. It's like, by the way, it's like you and I talked about when we talk about Comey or any of them. Do you have that investigative mindset?
Right.
I mean, are you looking and saying, okay, where do the facts lead me? These are those kind of people. Was it a black hole?
Yeah.
You're right. We're all turning into Don Lemon, except we're using elves.
Yeah. You think it was the elf from Harry Potter? Do you think it was the... Look, Frodo, It wasn't the elf from Harry Potter. You know, give me the ring back, by the way. You're not capable of keeping it safe. Bunch of morons. I know I went off on another book series, but seriously.
I know.
Well, it's just delving into complete fantasy. I mean,
I saw that story and I went, come on, Fox, you're doing a lot of the scantily clad actresses now. Can you, I'd rather have that than the elf story.
Well, here's the, well, that's a valid point. But here's the other thing, too. I mean, what is next? Let's bring on Harry Potter himself. What do you think, Harry? You know the elf. Is that the elf? I mean, because that would be the only logical follow-up. Because if I'd seen that, if the next... Okay, imagine that. Because it's on the website, but imagine they did a segment on Fox News on that. And they're, well, look at the video, and this... It resembles very closely the elf from Harry Potter.
I wonder if they did during the day, and what if they brought that up as like a as a
right because the if you did that if they did a presentation on the story, you know, on the air, the only logical follow up is to bring on Harry Potter. I mean, I don't know. You get a kid, dress him up as Harry Potter, and you just interview him in a serious fashion, because that's the only thing that would make sense after something so stupid. You people are doomed.
I know.
Doomed. Man. Oh, my gosh. That's just idiotic. The stories. I mean, this is where we are, though.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, it was one of the lead stories on FoxNews.com,
yeah,
too.
Right.
And we've been doing a little... thing lately, a little bit called "What's Going On with Fox News?"
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with Fox News?
And especially it's really on their website, more on their website, because that's right. What I actually read more. Where
because clickbaiting doesn't work anymore, so now they just go for the gusto. Hey, look, this actress just posed nude.
Yeah, exactly. That's...
Why don't they just put daily nudity? They just have that section of the website, daily nudity. Yeah, I don't know, man. We're doomed. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. You know?
Okay, the only one today, and it's down further.
Okay, all right.
Star accuses paparazzi of altering bikini photos to make her look overweight. That's the only one they have today.
Okay.
That's the one that's...
Yeah. So the idea is... See, it's a different kind of clickbaiting.
And it's Britney Spears.
Oh, never mind. No click. I hear she's getting fat. I'm not going to click on that one because I heard she's really fat now. Oh, my gosh. It's so stupid.
If she'd only lose weight and look like the elf.
Exactly. No, maybe she did, and maybe that's her. Look, I lost weight. I lost weight, everybody.
Oh, please.
I will say whatever kid that is in the costume has the skinniest legs. Oh. I mean, it looks really... really like this. It has to be. It has to be a kid. It can't be a grown adult.
We are so doomed.
Yeah. No. We're. It's over. It's over. Listen to me. Forget anything that AOC says. Not that you would remember it. Forget the 12 years. It's over now. Forget the 10 years. Skater Bob said, "No, it's over now." Listen. Let's just say this. Good luck, everybody.
Go
make your way.
Good luck.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know where we're going to go from here, but we will go somewhere next.
I think we should have an international lottery to see who gets on the big spaceship that we're going to, you know, leave on, like that movie with Frodo, you know. You know, of course, the huge asteroid's coming down.
Yeah, but that wasn't only science fiction, that was fiction, because remember in that, was Deep Impact.
Oh, yeah, Deep Impact.
Because in that movie, remember MSNBC had millions of listeners
viewers?
Remember that was...
Taya Leone.
Yes.
You're the new star at MSNBC. You'll have tens of millions of listeners. Nope. It's like the episode of...
And if she became the anchor on their website, they'd have all the important news stories, and then like three rows down on the front page, my husband is a sex addict.
Well, there was, it was like the, I think it was the first season of Homeland on Showtime. And the daughter is all, the daughter of this family was all upset, and the mom's trying to figure out what's going on with you, what's going on. She goes, I'm kind of freaking out, all this stuff with dad and blah, blah, blah. And Lawrence O'Donnell is going to do his show from our living room. I'm going to have 10 million people looking at me. And I said out loud, nope, you will not. Not even close. Not going to happen.
Man, I got to stop laughing.
10 million. Well, right. You know, but here's the thing. If you're going to write fiction, write fiction.
Write fiction. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour, Biden and the Hyde Amendment, just what it says about where the Democrats are going, and also that story that you and I both saw in Breitbart that shows top executives of 180 different companies around the United States say that abortion is necessary to be successful in business.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and I said to you, during the pre-show meeting, this is where we are. I mean, you've been saying it for a while, but really, I don't think there's any other issue for the Democrats in 2020. It's about abortion. It really is. So if you go back several years to booing God at the convention, next year, it'll be about killing babies.
Key point, though, about moderate Catholic Democrats that we'll get to here in just a little, if there's such a thing as a moderate Democrat anymore.
Right.
Maybe moderate Catholics, but a moderate Catholic Democrat, I don't know, but we'll get to that here in just a couple of moments. Plus, the Department of Justice is investigating, there's a headline, non-governmental organizations and individuals as part of a broad probe of surveillance abuses. What does that exactly mean? We will get to that, but you saw where Kim Jong-un's half brother that was killed.
Yeah, was a CIA
source
informant.
Now they claim that he didn't know anything.
Mm.
That he really didn't know anything. But you and I've always asked this, the reason that story fascinated me is we said, how much do we really know? The electronic surveillance that we have alone, what do we actually know? Do we know? I assume we know a heck of a lot more about what's going on inside of North Korea than any of us will ever know.
Yeah, I've been told that is the case, and I've read even that that is the case to a certain extent. My question is, how do you break through that very inner circle of a Kim Jong-il, his father, and Kim Jong-un now? I don't know that that's quite possible. So I think even his closest, highest-ranking officials, each of them carry one little slither of, you know, pieces of information, and none of them carry the entire, you know, or I guess any one piece of information that might bring him down.
We have to have operatives inside of North Korea, though.
Yes, they
I mean,
are.
Do we? That would be my question. Do we actually have human
spies?
Spies, yes. In North Korea.
Right.
Well, that would be. I wouldn't want that job.
Right. Well, but and here's the thing.
Are they the informants and not spies?
Well, in the CIA, there's an officer who actually works for the CIA. There's an asset that is in the field that you get information from, and there are agents that are not employees of the CIA,
right?
But act as spies for you. You can bet in North Korea, it's going to have to be somebody who is a North Korean national. And how dangerous is that?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.